The Garden, Saturdays 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hello, everyone. This is Why Not. And this is another interesting night of the answers, the way the world rolls and how we actually treat each other, I think. And it's funny that I get to say something. I love this place that, it's all listener supported, number one, because it's like family and, you know, you get to hear what real people sound like and what they go through and what it takes to actually, you know, try and produce something like this. And, this is Why Not. And I've got, you know, my special guest, my favorite, I guess. I've got Trinity with me, I think. She's still with me. Yeah. There she is. And it's going to be interesting because I don't know what I'm interested in. I don't really care that much. I look at it like, you know, you get here and this is the way it is. And it's not that you're not going to do something about it, but you're probably going to do what you can. You know, and if you had a chance, you would definitely do something about it. I don't think people are just, you know, waiting for somebody else to do something. I think people are tired of the way it was set up, and it's time to get out of the setup and actually, you know, make it our way. That's what living really is. The system is not going to set up a living world. It's going to set up a dead world, put you in debt, and kind of, you know, steal all your good energy and keep you from your potential. That's the way I see the world. And these people, like, they get really, I don't know, like when scarcity gets worse, people start taking it out on each other instead of the system that actually set it up. So I'm sure that Trinity is totally versed on all this stuff, but you know what the system is like. What's special about you, Trinity, is you actually lived in the Trump area for a while when you were growing up. And you've actually seen all this garbage. I look at Trump like he's really not presidential material. He's a businessman. I don't know if he really wrote the book. I think somebody wrote it for him, The Art of the Deal, or Steel, I say. You know, but it's like I can't see him as being a real politician. I just see him as, you know, what he can get away with. He's an actor to me. And then I see all this stuff where people are saying, and I kept saying it too, that even if he gets arrested, they're going to vote him in as president, even in jail. You know, because that would be the greatest thing that we could ever choose, because they let us, you know, do something like that. And I really look at it like maybe we're being set up, that we don't even have a choice and we think we do. And I kind of wonder what you think, Trinity, about the whole Trump train. I mean, Trump is the wild card. It's always the Trumpster.
Right. Like I've said before, you know, I didn't come to the Midwest until I was in my 30s. So I knew about Trump since like I was born. He's never not been in the papers. A lot of people know about him through his TV show and then this, but they have no idea that this isn't new behavior. This isn't set up behavior. If this was a setup to put him in the presidency, they've been doing that nonsense since the 70s and it has just never stopped. He's never not been in the paper there. He's never not been accused of being everything that he is now. Everything he's been accused of in the last, 8 years, 9 years is the exact same thing he's been doing for the past 30. It's never changed. But a lot of people are not familiar. All you have to do is go to the Daily News, the New York Post.
I think you're right.
What is it? The Wall Street Journal. Look at any of those. You can archive. You can look at put Donald Trump and put any year you want. And you will find newspaper articles discussing every single thing, from every bankruptcy to every failed business to every horrible thing he said in the press, for how he treated people, how he scammed people at his school, how he was selling crap steaks. You know what I mean? Oh, every single thing that he did, that he's done way before all of this came out, it's not hard to find. Not at all. It's right there.
It should be easy.
Yeah, it's really easy, but people don't want to look that way. You know what I mean? You're saying that there's a possibility he can get elected in jail. People still think he's the president now. There's millions of people that honestly think he's really the president. Yeah, that he's really the president and that he's still running things from behind the scenes.
I don't believe it.
No, nobody in their right mind believes it. But what I'm saying is that it's still a thing. I get it. You got to hold on to whatever it is these people are holding on to. I don't know.
Is that what it is? The big brainwash? We got to hold on to it?
Yes, mass hysteria. That's what that is.
So I would ask a question like, could he have been set up for exactly what we're seeing right now the whole time? Like, you know, since you're young, you know, you're seeing, here's my point. I put it like, let's say Kennedy is running, and this guy would be Barabbas if you had Jesus and Barabbas. You know, so the people are more into Barabbas because, you know, he's criminal like them in a way. You know, so that they'd be willing to vote Barabbas into office even if it meant killing Jesus off, you know, because, you know, he's the bad guy and Jesus is going to make everybody look good. I mean, going to make everybody look bad because he looks so good, you know?
Right? And that's usually what it is. Everybody's like, it's like the beauty pageant, you know. And I'm not saying that some of them, I know they're not going to win, but we all know you can look at them and be like, all right, we're definitely not going to make it in the top three. So when you actually go through that process and you put everybody and you line them up, you know, you know who's in the running, and then you know who isn't right off the bat. So we take all of these people and we give them the opportunity to run their mouths and talk about all the wonderful things they're going to do. And it's always the complete opposite of the people that win or the last two people left. Always. So we never really get to that part. We don't have any other system but the one that's in play right now.
See, that's kind of my point. We don't really get a choice.
No.
We're just in the propaganda.
Yeah, no, we don't get a choice. The propaganda is meant for us. That's meant for us to clash. That's meant for us. And I get it. I see, you know, I see it here. I don't have to watch TV. I don't have to do any of that stuff. I live it every single day. I live as a minority in an area that thinks that whatever it is that I look like is a criminal, or, you know, because I'm Puerto Rican, they automatically assume I'm Mexican. I really don't think I look Mexican, but then again, I don't think they know of anything else. So they run with Mexican. But I'm sure they look at me like I'm a criminal. I'm sure that they automatically have their assumptions about me. It doesn't matter if I'm intelligent. Doesn't matter if I'm educated. Doesn't matter if I have my own or I know how to take care of my own or I've never been to jail. Whatever the situation is, when they see me, they judge me. Or they already have their own idea about me. And,
Would you say you wouldn't want to be like them?
Like, No.
No more. And isn't that an interesting way to take those kind of people? Like, they don't even know what they're doing to themselves when they act like that.
Right.
And everyone else. Yeah.
Right. If anybody's thinking, oh, well, if she's living in a situation like that, why doesn't she just go ahead and move? You know what I mean? Look, if I got to deal with this outside of being in New York and paying like $10,000 a month in rent and $18 for a gallon of milk, I can deal with some racist people. That's fine. You know what I mean? If I have to pick and choose the lesser of two evils, I'll pick a place where I own my own property. I'll pick up, you know what I mean? You could look at me any way you want. Don't come in my face. Don't, you know, as long as you're doing your thing, you could look at me and you could roll your eyes. You could look at me and think the worst things. That doesn't bother me. I don't take that stuff personal. I've lived here long enough not to take that personal. I used to take it personal. I don't take it personal. I look at them as being sad people, to be angry and not know me. They're just sad people, and the stuff that comes out of their mouth sometimes is just ignorant. It's just they don't know any better. They don't know anybody outside their small community. They never learned about anybody anywhere else. They've never been outside of this area, and they just don't know. So I just look at them like they're just sad. That's all.
Yeah. So why would the Creator make anyone different? Like, we're all going to a good place at a time.
Well, we weren't always like that. I don't think we were always like this.
Never been like that until recently. We were taught really well by the original people, and then we went off, and I kind of call ourselves like spoiled children that don't know how to, you know, take care of their parents. They come back here and they steal the country back off them, you know, when they actually gave them life and set them out and gave them freedom in a way. You know, in this Maui thing, they're like stealing it right in front of people, even to this day, you know, being upset about it. Yeah.
Yes. So I started looking up some stuff because we did this like last minute. So I looked up some stuff. So yes, the alarms didn't go off. Now they're having water rights discussions. They're fighting over water rights there.
Well, they're fighting over who's responsible for that, because they
it says Lahaina's deadly fire has intensified Maui's fight over water rights, harrowing the experience the day wildfire erupted. Hold on, I'm just going down the line. I would have did more research. I'm interrupted
because, you know, like the whole water rights thing is they were arguing about, well, some people won't have water if we let you put out the fire. Now, if you were in that situation, no matter what, you would give the water first and then, you know, get the water back somehow. It's not that complicated. You know, the same thing with sending the children home from school. Those schools were responsible for those children. They're not allowed to send them home when the parents weren't home. Like, if you send your child to school, they expect to get their child back from the school, and the school's supposed to protect them that whole time. So the worst thing they could do is send the children home. Right. So if you add everything up, they were stopping traffic. they were keeping people where the fire was coming, and they wouldn't let them go. So, you know, the coroner, the people that, you know, were running the show and stuff and saying that they can't do this or that, the police chief, it just adds up to the people that they put in power. And now they're building a black fence, and I don't really cover this stuff. I just hear everybody telling me about it, like it was on the roundtable earlier. But they're building a black wall so nobody can see what's going on. Now, if your system is not telling you anything and building walls and keeping everybody that might find or see something out, then what are you supposed to think? You think it's time for a new system? You know? That's what we're seeing here.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I said, it turns into this whole thing where we don't know where we're left. You know what I mean? Like, where is it that you go to make anything make sense? Because nothing makes sense. Nothing.
To each other. You don't need all these systems to confuse you and slow you down. Like, I look at it like we're the ones that have all the power, and somebody trying to tell us we don't.
Right.
And so as soon as we stand up and take the power and arrest them, we don't have to worry anymore about getting arrested, because all these rules are made up to scare everyone. And that's how it works. We're not supposed to be in fear of something that's protecting us or helping us or your neighbors or anything like that.
Right.
Just have a life. Yeah.
So but it happens.
Well, because they don't know any better, do they?
No.
They don't know what to do it. They don't know who they're dealing with either.
No, they do not. No, they do not.
But they don't learn these days.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to learn the hard way, right?
Best way. The one they remember. Because they're spoiled children. I raised enough children. You don't give them what they want because they jump up and down and cry. You put them in a room so they don't bother anyone.
Right.
They won't put us in a room and act like we did something wrong.
Yeah, because that's literally how it is.
Yeah, I think it's time. People don't need education. They need a good connection to something better. And then they know better. And they don't have to deal with all this bullshit being programmed into, you know, nonsense and stuff.
Right.
That's how I would answer it on the answers. It's time for a reckoning.
And that's what I'm saying. It really is. It really is.
Sure is. We're in control. Good.
We're supposed to be. I mean, we're supposed to be.
You are.
I'm not saying no. Well, I mean, look, I can agree with at least this much. There will be a time. And that time, I think, is coming sooner than later. I think it's going to come in my lifetime. And I just turned 49 on Friday. So I know that in my lifetime, some stuff is going to go down. This is the most ridiculous we've been. Like, nobody, every time something big like this happens, or, you know, whatever, this is the first time that it's been, am I going to use the right word? Concurrently, like, okay, so the Trump thing, first is the Biden thing, that he's nuts and he's old and senile. Then nobody ever, I haven't seen the vice president since she got, I think I saw her the day that they got elected, and then I've never seen her. She could be dead for all we know. I never seen her again.
The plague.
I think she goes out like one time a year or three times a year. They let her outside. I don't know what the deal is with that. And then we got the Trump stuff. Yeah, then they got the Trump stuff. And now we have everything's on fire. Everything's boiling hot. Like, here where I live, they stopped school for that week because it was too hot for the kids to go outside and be in a hot ass bus and be in a hot school. So they just canceled school last week. And the 2 or 3 weeks before that, because of the weather, I feel like our index was 123 degrees for at least 3 days in a row. So we already know that there's stuff going on. But what we're not realizing and we're not paying attention to, and every time, every researcher knows, if you're into this, if anything about what we talk about here on this station, then you have to know, that's 101, that every time there's a huge story, you have to look at the other story. There's something else going on, and this is what's covering it up. So we find out that everybody's starting to remove themselves from the dollar. They're not talking about it. They're in the process of getting that done. By the time we get over all of this nonsense and the debates and then the presidential election and we're all going to be screwed. Oh, yeah. And then right after that, the aliens are coming. Like, I don't know. I know just thinking about it exhausts me. I'm just exhausted.
Well, it's the best time. That's what I look at.
There's just so much.
I know this is what it takes to get to the next level of living. You know, when you get rid of all the dead weight and the shit in your way, you know, because they've been piling it up in front of us like ever.
I know, but this is what I'm saying. Like, but this is the first time that, you know, like this is the first time we're not getting a little bit of air. Like, you know, usually, yes, we're always drowning, but every once in a while we're able to come up, get a little air, and then we go back down. This is the first time that I see that everything's happening one every time you think, all right, this is finally over with, and then there's no room to take a breath to catch your thoughts. That's how I know whatever's going to happen is going to be huge, because I can't remember a moment in the last maybe 2 years where we just had a break. We got half the, you know, we have a huge population that thinks that Trump is still in office no matter what happens, that he's literally still the president. We got a 2,000-year-old president right now. We have a possible MIA VP. Everything's turning to crap. Nobody seems to care. And now we're not even having congressional meetings anymore about everybody getting themselves away from the dollar. We're having it about aliens. If that's not the weirdest crap ever, I don't know what is.
Yeah, they don't want to talk
dollars. No. They really rather us just talk about aliens. You know how desperate you got to be? You know how desperate the world has to be like, you know what? Let's just talk about aliens. You know what I mean? We've been telling millions of people, you know, because I've always believed everybody's like, oh, we finally got disclosure. We've had disclosure for thousands of years. I really don't understand what everybody was expecting, what everybody wanted. They wanted this kind of congressional meeting. They want Biden to walk out with a little gray alien hand in hand, and they put their hands up together like, we gotta be free, and then whatever the hell everybody thinks is gonna happen. That's not even how it works. They're telling us this, they're gonna drag it out for years.
Little alien's gonna have them bowing down in front of them.
Yeah. Then everybody's going to be like, take me to your ship. And then I don't know. I just know it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a big old mess. And I'm here for it. I'm going to stay in my little area in the middle of nowhere with neighbors that terrify me because they're bonkers. Yeah. And then I'm just going to hide out. I got my little honeycomb hideout. I'm just going to stay in here and mind my business. And just watch everything unfold.
My business went way out.
Your mic is doing that thing again. Remember when you had to unplug it and plug it back in? It's making that really bad booming sound.
I'm going to have to buy another. I love this though. So, I should have you say something while I'm gone a minute. Be gone for seconds.
For how long? Did you leave already? Oh my God, he unplugged it. So anyway, so I can go ahead and keep it going. I can still hear your mic a little bit. You really do have to unplug it. Don't worry, I won't leave dead air. I'll just talk nonsense. So you can go and fix that because it really sounds bad. Like if I can hear it really loud. Ooh.
It went away. I'm trying to set it up. I can still hear you.
Okay. No, I can hear you too. Like, you really sounded clear there for a second. Like, whatever you just did, like, try to keep that up because that sounded pretty good.
It sounds okay now?
Yes.
Okay, good.
We're back. You're good now. Yeah.
So, I think the aliens are coming. I think they're here every 400 years. And we've revealed it lots of times. They reveal themselves all the time. But the system won't allow it because they're good for us. You know, but right before they come, we're going to have a bunch of shitheads try and, you know, play a game of, you know, who knows what the aliens are. And they're going right. to, you know, try to take over the world with, you know, the aliens. And then we'll find out it's the system that's behind it, you know, because they couldn't figure out how else to control us. That we might believe aliens took us over. That's the only chance they have to take life away from people anymore. Right. Unless they want to kill us all off. But we know how to now.
They need us. They need
I don't think they can get away with killing too many of us off at a time.
I think once AI really, and we really have robots like they did in that Will Smith movie, iRobot, then we should start getting concerned about what we really do here. You know what I mean? And be like, seriously, now we're competing with these guys. And it's not like we can't. It's not. If you really just look into neuroscience, we have the same capabilities as supercomputers. We just don't know how to access. But we have the same abilities as AI and as computers. We have the same capabilities. We're just not taught how to access. With our junk DNA, I hate when people say junk DNA.
I don't believe that, but I do think that we can do anything if that's the way you put it. You know, like we have all the potential. But I don't think it's something like what we do with AI, we can do ourselves. Because AI, to me, can't do anything. If AI could do something, why hasn't it already come up with, you know, what the aliens are or changed the world in any way?
Who said and it hasn't? What it do you hasn't. Think, that as soon as that comes out, they said you can find any video out there where somebody actually punches in names and asks what's going to happen in 2050. And you think AI doesn't have an answer? They're just like, oh, I don't know. My brain does not compute that far. No, these dudes have answers. And the answers are not great.
So we're on a show called The Answers. I don't know if I said that. And, you know, like I got lots of answers, but, you know, like if I programmed it into a computer and just gave you an answer, you know, because you ask a question, that doesn't make it intelligent. You know, it's just the answer that was programmed for the question. Right. So you've got to get past me on how does this thing actually think? Because my point is, if it actually could think, we would actually have some real thought by now. Because obviously man can't think. And, you know, a creator could think, you know, more than we can. But our freaking machine is not going to come up with a better thought than us if we're the ones that built the machine. I mean, unless you can explain it better than that, because I can explain it. I don't think AI has a brain at all. See, what AI is to me is it's the best scare that they've got. And it's bigger than aliens right now because people are believing it. And yeah, the thing can outthink you, I guess. Not think you, but it can do something faster because it's a machine. It doesn't have to think about anything else but what it's doing. But the whole thing is what it does is what it's told to do. Now, if you could explain to me how it can get past doing what it's told, I don't really believe that's possible. But
how
if it could,
how are we any different?
Oh,
any different? We do what we're told. We've been doing that since we've been born. You know, everything that we've done to produce the kinds of things that we have right now. If it is outside of any reverse technology, then it's the exact same thing.
No, because we have choice. Creator gave us something that was more special that you can't put in a machine. And it's feelings and choice and, you know, like the way we see each other, the way we take it. It's not like you can program that stuff. That's kind of what I'm talking about. And I'm really good at this programming thing. I did some pretty big programs in my life, like where you had to really think about how to get it done and stuff. And I'm telling you, there's no way to program intelligence. Like you could think that Intel is everything that you've ever seen, all the pictures, and if you put them all together, you could come up with some kind of a, you know, conclusion from what you think. But AI is not like that. It can't conclude something like we would without a program telling it how to do it. So I want to know, how can man not be able to come up with the right answer or one new thing, but this machine's going to come up with one new thing or do it faster? Who cares if it can do it faster? It's a matter of one new thing. And I could come up with one new thing, but only because I know there's a connection between me and something greater than this. Not man that's given me one new thing. And so, you know, your question was, you know, what's the difference? Aren't we just like a machine, you know, in a way, we're just programmed too. But the truth is we get to choose. We do have, like, you don't have to. And I don't like the word have to or words. You know, I like to think about everything, question everything. That's what we're made like. And the robot or AI is not going to do that. It's only going to do what it was told to do. I can prove that because when you look at what a computer is, all it is some machine codes. You have these registers and you have these ons and off switches, you know, things that you can put in memory or take out. You have programs that are opcodes that you can switch them up a little bit and tell it different places to take things and put them and move them and whatever. But when you're doing all this with the program, where is the thinking involved? Where does it break out of the program and say it's going to write its own program and start to fight over who can do it better than man can? It's like these are all things that are made up to scare us into thinking that, you know, some box is going to outthink it. It can't happen. So just me, I can outthink it right now. Like, you know, what does AI really do that's anything new? And it doesn't. It does what it's told, and it answers the questions. Even if it's like everybody in the world is asking questions, they've got an answer for every question. That's all it is to me. Unless somebody can explain more than that. I mean, it's got lots of memory. Lots of places to hide answers and things. But where does it actually come up with something new? Like they said it was going to write a new Bible. Do you believe that?
Yes.
How can it write a new Bible? And what would that look like? Like what's it going to come up with?
I don't think it would be fun. I mean, based on everything that's coming on now, I don't think that it would be fun or interesting or anything like that. It's one of those things. So the supercomputers have been out for years and years and years and years, like decades. We've had that, and then we have supercomputers all over the United States. I know the biggest one I think is in Arizona, and it's underground because I did a paper on it. I can't remember the name of the computer, but it's no joke. It can hold so much information. So we're not talking about us and comparing ourselves to AI. We're talking about what AI has the what is it? What they have access to. We don't have access to what AI has access to. We can't just walk in and be like, you know what? I'd like to know what the supercomputer could do, and then we could just walk in and do a tour. Like, that's not how it works. They're running on a completely different system.
They don't have anything to wow you. You know, like if they had something bigger to wow you, we'd hear about it already. Like that the last thing, it's going to come up with something new. And as soon as he said that, I think it was that Harari guy or something. As soon as he said that, I just laughed because man hasn't come up with anything new. And I know that because the book I have says that man never comes up with anything new. Man just copies everything that they see. When you look at all the art in the world, it's always copies of something else we saw. We don't come up with anything new. Now, that's a big statement. And I've watched that for years. My son's a really great artist. He does a lot of D&D. And he doesn't come up with any new creatures. He just mixes things up.
But it's not so like that, he doesn't have the capability to do so. The difference with D&D is that you have the ability to create new scenarios and new things. And I don't know a lot about D&D, but from what I know, you can come up with new things. You have the ability to do it, but it's still a game and it still has rules. Like, I can't just walk in and be like, I picked this monster, I killed everybody, I win. Like, that's just not how it works.
Well, yeah, you got to be fair to everybody so they want to play the game.
There's still rules to the game. So
people
even
though
play. You could really do something really good with it, you still have to follow the rules.
So the question is, can he come up with a new creature that we haven't seen before? Something that isn't made up of parts of other creatures?
Yes.
I'm
just saying what I'm thinking, yes.
I know you're thinking that you could, but I'm telling you, I could not find anything new in all the art that we do. Just like that book says. And I've looked into it enough, you know, like my son, I asked him about it, and he said, you're right. Like he, you know, after all these years of D&D. And then the other point that the book makes is if you look at every creature on the planet, everything's something different. So the creator can come up with new things, and that's the whole point of what it's saying. But man can't. And I say that all the time on the shows because I want man to know, you know, what we're capable of, like what we're put together like what did the creator do to us to, you know, put us in the situation we're in right now, especially stuck on a show like The Answers, someone like you.
Well, if you think about it, the creator gave us the ability to do something that may change everything on the planet. Every single thing that's going on right now had to have come from man in some sense. And I don't think everything. I think there's a lot of stuff that they found. I think there's a lot of reverse engineering. I think there's a lot of stuff. I think that we live in a world where we don't ask a lot of questions about ethics. So a lot of the stuff that we've learned. Huh?
Reverse engineering from the aliens?
Yes. No, from anything. I think this planet has hidden things all over the place. This isn't, I think I've said this before, but I don't think that thousands of years ago or millions of years ago, we were like the Flintstones. You know what I mean? I don't believe that there's like some kind of brontosaurus burger that we were eating or, you know, that we had to club our women and drag them. Like the fact that they even come up with this kind of stuff, like how do they know? You know what I mean? Like there's no playbook. There's no old videotape, you know, there's no old recordings. And whatever it is that they're telling us, that they're feeding us for us to have these kinds of ideas in the first place, to say they know exactly how it went down, either they're completely full of shit or they know something that we don't and they're just giving us half of the information. But there's no way that somebody's just coming up with some kind of information and they say, you know, this is exactly how it went down. We found some paintings in a cave that looks like, you know, it looks like some buffaloes, and then we see some look alien kind of beings, and it looks kind of like an astronaut, and you know, and we have old paintings and they have a ship in the background. All of that stuff is either one of two things. It's either legit or it's something that they made to fit the narrative. That's it. It can't be both. It can't. So either they're just trying to make sure that we just lean in one direction or not. Like I have a video, I haven't watched it yet, but if anybody wants to look it up, it's called Was Math Created? So they're trying to say that there's a possibility that math was, and the way that we make connects is much wider and much deeper and much more complex than we could ever imagine. So what we did was we took the information that we have and we ran with it. But that the reason why, and I say we, the same way you say the creator, is when I say we, is the people that are being taught this stuff. We come up with a definitive answer in our own circles. So mathematicians do it in their way, you know, scientists do it in their way, religious people do it in their way. Everybody has a little bit of information, but they run with it in their own direction. And again, it's to fit the narrative. But can we guarantee that that's how it went down? Can we guarantee? You know, the Fibonacci, what is it? The Fibonacci circle is actually that? Or did we come up with something that makes it fit? You know, it's like making a puzzle. You know, yes, we could put the pieces together, but somebody came up with the puzzle. The puzzle wasn't the way it is. Somebody made the puzzle. They pictured the picture. They cut out the pieces. And then they make it connect. And then that's how you come up with the ending piece. But it was something completely different when it was created. It's not the same thing.
Well, that I think it's Fibonacci, the thing that puts out patterns.
This Fibonacci spiral. Sorry, that's what it is.
Yeah, it looks like nature's patterns. Well, they just took nature and just put it into an equation so that they could come up with that, you know, so how it reproduces what they put in. And nature does do stuff like that. It follows the spiral of life, like the this.
Yeah, they say it's found in everything. So it's found in everything. What I'm saying is to make things easier, to make things easier for us, it's like a pill to swallow. You know what I mean? It makes it easier for us to be able to, they give us the opportunity to say that there's certain people that if you learn things in a certain way, then you become more, I don't want to say advanced, but you become more intelligent than everybody else. You know what I mean? So I can come in with 17 different degrees from 18 different colleges and tell you that no matter what comes out of your mouth, that I know for a fact on what's going on because I went to school and I learned everything. That there's and there's plenty of people out there that do the same thing. And that's why now we have to have different papers to argue off another paper, you know, to say, all right, we have to test this. We got to make sure this is legit. But we're still giving it to the same people. So if you tell me that you're a mathematician and then you're like, I need you to check my work and I'm a mathematician, you know what I mean? Then either I'm going to tell you it's a different form of math or you got it absolutely correct. But it's because we're using the same information. Mine just might be a little bit different than yours. But it adds up to asking two people. Nobody's going to come up to me and say, is this equation correct? I have no damn idea. You know why? Because nobody taught me. But if they did, am I going to say that this is a fact? Can I walk into a place? Can I go do a TED talk and say, you know what? This is the best stuff I can come up with. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I can do. This is what I can say. Give me a platform to say this and give me a platform to teach this. And then everybody else will, and it's not because everybody else will come up with that kind of information. They're not, they might not even come up with the same kind of information. But the fact that we claim that we share all of that information, and that should be something that people that go through certain levels get it. You know, it's like people that believe in the Illuminati or they believe in the Freemasons, and they're like, okay, well, there's that regular guy who pays $12 dues a month, so he could get out of getting tickets, and then there's another guy who's secretly in some kind of a pyramid thing that takes over the world. You know what I mean? And you're like, okay, but they're still Freemasons, right? They could still carry the same name, but there's definitely a difference in what they know. You can say you're free. You can say you're a Freemason and not know anything except that you get a sticker and you get a title, but that doesn't mean you're privy to information, or at least not important information. But you can still use the exact same name. So I could say I'm a mathematician. You can say you're a mathematician. We could take our information and debate over it. But 95% of the information we have is identical.
Yeah,
so how do we learn anything different? We can't learn anything different if we're just basing it off the exact same thing.
You got to get past the 33rd degree so you get the next knowledge, right?
No. What I'm saying, no.
And then
we have different factions around the world, and they have their own 33 degree. It's not a universal thing. It's based on where you're at. So I have there's a Freemason lodge where I live. And do I think that there's some kind of a cabal that goes and they go eat at Denny's, you know what I mean? Down the block. And then you know what I'm saying? And then they have some kind of a ritual, like eyes wide shut. And then, you know what I mean? No. And then they pray to an owl and then everybody goes home. No.
None of that matters. What matters is that there's association. And then it's like a church, where if you're in the church, people will help you because you're in that church. But if you're not in the church, they don't want to help you. So it's like, you know, it's this thing where you're helping the ones you want to help. And that's what's wrong with the whole world. It's not just these little societies that are controlling the world. It's that people want to be associated so that they can make a buck too. You know, like that's how you get, I don't know. That's how the money goes, money world. It's who you know and how much you have. And I think, you know, like when you put a name on something and all these symbols and everything, you know, what they do to us. And it is all symbols. But the thing is, it, when you put a name on something, you're being negative or evil anyway, because you're kind of tying yourself to this material world, you know, where people remember you. And, you know, like everyone wants to get their name and lights to be remembered or whatever, but look at how hard it is to get away from here if you're going to tie yourself to this kind of a belief system. Now, I'm just saying, I think there's something more than this, and this is kind of nonsense the way we act here. You know, but this is the way it's set up. I think we're allowed to be criminals and devious and every kind of spoiled brat that you can be, because it's like you get haunted by all this spoiled shit that people do to each other. It's like it becomes a hell on earth in a way, especially in the time that we're in, when people are in fear and scarcity is starting to be created and stuff. It's all about cutting down the population or life anyway. So, you know, like, they can't just come out and kill you, so they'll let you kill each other. They'll teach us that.
Well, I disagree with that. I think that they, it's not, I don't think that they're going out and doing it. They're just allowing us, right? So if I come to your house, right? And I tell you, Tony, I'm going to make you a dinner, right? And then I make some fried chicken, right? Or I make some fried pork chops, or I make you a penne, which is a roast pork butt that Puerto Ricans make, and it's delicious. It takes like 22 hours to make, but it's freaking delicious. But if I go ahead and I tell you I'm going to make that for you, and then I make a pile of shit, right? But I tell you that this shit has nutrients, it's organic, you know what I mean? And I got it from a bunch of raccoons, but that it'll give you way more health benefits. It's not going to taste as good as my food, but, you know what I mean? This will do something completely different from you. Like, if I said that and I was, like, being legit, like, just imagine that actually happened. You think about it. You would think about it. Like, instead of saying, you know what, there's no way I would eat crap. But you would take that into consideration and say, okay, do I want this, or do I want something that has these labels on it, you know? There's some guy, and I hate to say it. Anyway, I'm not going to even bring up his name. Anyway, but there's this guy, and he does these videos online. And he used to be really thin. He was a vegan, and then he started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger so he can make more money. Now he's a millionaire, but he's also like morbidly, he's like 500 something pounds. And they had asked him, you know, why is it that, you know, you choose to do this? And he had explained, and it made sense to me in a sense, but he was like, look, he says, even if I went ahead and I started eating better. Now, he was already a vegan, but now he's trying to make sense of why he's eating 80 pounds of fried chicken or Taco Bell or, you know, Kentucky fried chicken or whatever, right? He's trying to make an excuse, but he uses something that makes a lot of sense. He says, so let's say I go ahead and steam broccoli. He was like, I'm already taking nutrients out of it. If I take something, I put it in the microwave, I'm taking nutrients out of it. He was like, we have this belief that every single thing that we do, as long as we do it, and we're, you know, we're taking that one product and we're consuming it, we're not taking into consideration what we're doing with it and then consuming it. It changes. It all changes. It's not the same thing. So if I take broccoli off a stalk and I eat it right from there, then it's great. And we all love eating stuff like that here. We do the cabbage raw. We do the broccoli raw. It's ridiculous how we do things here. But if we put it in the microwave, and then I say, oh, I ate healthy today, I steamed my broccoli. No, it's not the same thing. So they give us the opportunity, and I'm saying the opportunity because you say we all have choice, to go in and then take something, devalue it in a sense, and then because we did it that way, it's no longer, it's not, if we can consume it, but it doesn't have the same value that we think that it does. So they give us these things, and then they know that we're gonna give it a name, and we're gonna say healthy, but it's not actually healthy at all. He's like, so no matter what I do, whether I eat these 25 burgers or, you know, 82 things of fries and 7,500 nuggets, he was like, it doesn't matter, because even if I was going back, you know, into the sense where I'm gonna start eating healthy, no matter what I do with the food, and if I alter it in any way, it no longer has the nutritional value, you know, it no longer has the, I know I don't want to say that name wrong, caloric. Anyway, so the calories is still not going to be the same. We alter these things all of the time. But those are the choices that we have to make. Those are the choices. Well, if I worked at McDonald's, then I would eat free McDonald's. I was goofing with a friend the other day. He had a boyfriend that worked at McDonald's, right? And he would come to the house all the time. We didn't like the guy. My friend didn't like the guy. But we would just happen to get free McDonald's, right? So we'd invite him to the house all the time, right, to get free stuff. But we weren't thinking about what we were putting in our bodies. Nobody cared. We had cheap and or free food. And we ate it. And then we consume it. And then we wonder why we, you know, we have medical issues or why we do things. And then medical, you know, and then insurance places like, we can't insure you because you eat this kind of food or because you do. And there's not a lot of choices.
Oh, there's a lot of choices.
Really?
Yeah, there is. Really? And like it's what? Funny, like, I go crazy because I'm trying to be the guest vegan now because I don't even want to trust anything that's animal product. Because they can do anything to that stuff. And it's pretty nasty already, whatever they're, you know, doing to get more out of it to sell to you and stuff. So I just think that you got to go back to nature, and that's the only way. I mean, I know even nature is corrupted by, you know, all the chemtrailing and whatever's
in
the world.
Yep, pesticides and, yep. Because I know they do that here. They have a truck. And he has like the, it has these like double funnels, and they spray this stuff everywhere. They tell us when they're gonna spray it, and then when you just go outside, you walk into a cloud of it. But they're claiming it's for like mosquitoes. They think we're gonna get the Nile virus here. I'm like, where do you think we live? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you got some mosquitoes, man, get like a trap. Or I mean, there's 1,000 ways to get rid of mosquitoes if you needed to. But spraying a whole bunch of stuff on my property. And in my trees, and on my food, and in my face, in my house, in my lungs. Yeah, there's a difference. There's a difference. And it's not the same thing. We don't live in a place where our choices are so different. I can't say, you know, that you're vegan and then I'm less healthy and that we have the same choices. That would never, first of all, that can't be a thing. That can't be a thing.
What, having choice?
No. I'm saying, okay, so you're vegan. I'm not vegan, right? First of all, I love meat, and that's just the thing. I know that if maybe I was raised a certain way or if I was able to stick to it because I tried it a couple times, it did not work. I mean, it worked for like a couple of weeks, and then I got over it. But, you know, like understanding where... If I got $5 in my pocket, you know what I mean? And I got to buy an apple because they're $5 because they say they're vegan, but we don't realize it just has a different sticker. You know what I mean? So if I go to the store and I go to Walmart, right? And then I have to buy something and I walk by the vegan stuff, right? It's like, oh, this is not vegan stuff. The organic stuff, right? The organic stuff is like in 18 things of plastic, you know? It's got a plastic container, so like the tomatoes don't rub together, and then it's wrapped in the noop. And then you find the regular stuff, and it's just a whole bunch of tomatoes. And then you just go grab a tomato. But this thing is wrapped in like 18 different things to separate it from, you know, the toxin. And I'm like, okay. So if I go over there and I get like a regular tomato, right, and I'm not producing any type of nonsense, and it's a so-called regular tomato, right? It wasn't where you guys' tomatoes are, because God forbid. And then now you guys are producing plastic for no reason. I mean, in abundance. Like, you just don't even want them to get bruised. So you put them in these little separating containers, and then you wrap them up, and people buy it, and then they're just like, I'm helping out, and, you know, I'm doing the right thing. Not realizing that they have 82 years of plastic that's going to be on our oceans because they decided to eat something that they think
that. So should I give you what I think a little? I think what it is we're being disconnected from a creator. And all this bad food is getting in between. Like, and the, you know, like it's impossible, like you said, to cut out all the stupid that they're doing to us. because they're really trying to get us to be like assholes and treat each other like shit and ruin everything that's good, you know?
And it works.
But yeah. No, it doesn't work. You don't need to, like, it doesn't have to be everybody, and it doesn't matter if people eat meat or kill things. That doesn't matter to me. What matters is that there's a difference, that you get a choice. Not that you have to make one, but that the creator would always give you a choice. Like, it's not like man says, well, you got to eat meat or you'll die. You know, like, I've heard that all my life. But what I've really learned is that you get a choice. And so if you make a choice like that, it's a better choice. It's a better connection. You know, like, eventually you're going to make better choices and you're going to treat people better and you're going to actually have better answers on the answers that were, you know, because there's something more than just us. Like, I don't try and come on here and say, oh, this is what I know or this is what I found or something. I just try and be open-minded. And when somebody says something, I love to have somebody with me because then I can just respond to it. And it's like, I'm not really trying to tell you what you want to hear. I'm not trying to figure out how to answer your question. I'm just saying whatever comes to my mind, just kind of like you are. But I'm trusting that if I'm positive and I'm just trying to get, you know, the most out of life and for everyone in a way, you know, by giving positive responses all the time, I don't see how I can make mistakes. And what I look at it like is if you try and do the, like, I even brought up my children vegetarian until they were 18, they could decide for themselves, and one out of the three did go back to eating meat because of her boyfriend. And I just talked to her about it, and she really doesn't eat much because she can't handle it. Like, she's just not made that way anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of interesting how that worked. But, you know, like, I don't know how to look at all this stuff. I'm not any different or special or anything like that. I just tried things that other people wouldn't try. And I was persistent and patient about it. And I looked into it as much as I could. So all I can bring you is what I found. And man isn't going to let you know anything to get it right. That was quick.
I'm beauty.
So quick. That was fast.
I know.
You get to respond. Be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction. On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen, learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocopic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Just showing them what we've got. We've got a lot. Even though we're not taught that much, you find so much, you know, when you're like tripping over things, that it all comes together somehow. And I really think it's just the perfect time for everything. Like, before this, I don't see how we could have changed anything anyway. I think it's the time when you do have, a way to change things, and enough people actually know how. And people are going to stand up because they can't wait. They just need a way to do it, and we just haven't decided how we're going to do it at this point. But this Maui thing, that to me, I'm going to keep pushing it. It's over the top. They got caught. It's going to match up, and I'm just guessing here because we haven't seen the evidence yet, but it's going to match up to the Paradise fires. You're going to see some evidence that is in both places. If that happens, the government is done. This whole alien thing is total stupidity. It's just to get your mind off of other things in the news. And the whole, like, election thing, it's a total farce. It's the worst election cycle I've ever seen. It's the most wasted money that I've ever seen when we can't even keep our supply chain going. And I don't want to talk too long because I got Trinity with me. And
no, we're all fine. I'm listening. This is great.
Well, it's time for something new. That's what I'm getting at. Isn't it like we've never had a chance to decide how we would make a government? Like we were just putting up with whatever they told us. This is all we can do for you. Am right. I right?
Yes. Yeah.
So isn't this the first time?
But you're asking in a sense where you and I or the listeners are. This is still we're still in a bubble. We're always. I don't want to say that we're always going to be in a bubble because that's not true. I think that the bubble will burst and then we'll be able to get out there a little bit.
So
this is what I'm saying. Like there's still this whole part.
This thing in our way.
Awakening means awakening. Awakening doesn't mean I'm awake and then you're awake and then there's other people here that are awake. It means awakening means a lot more people than just like a couple thousand or even a couple hundred thousand in the world where we live in. We're not even a percentage just yet. I know people are starting to wake up. Like I'm starting to see things. I'm starting my own kind of thing and I'm trying to pay attention to what is what's going on in a sense where I can...
How far out there we are.
Well, and not just that. And it's not even about what I say and what I do or what I want to discuss. But it really does have something to do with paying attention. We live in a world where we got 10-second videos. Everybody's interested in that. Nobody wants to listen to anything. I mean, I could watch, and I've watched so many videos that were 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, and I mean, watch it straight through. And the guy sounds like he's purposely trying to put you to sleep. Like, that's his whole thing. Like, they're just hoping you sleep through it, and I'll stay up, and I'll just be like, this is interesting information. But you can't tell the populace that they need to like get this kind of information and then consume it, understand it, and then have it make sense. Like, we're throwing stuff at people, and I'm not saying like everybody's doing it, but even if you ask people, huh?
I think we're guessing. We're doing our best.
Right, right. But imagine going to like some kind of a dinner with your family, and then bringing up any topic that we would normally bring up, and then just watch the turkey get thrown or watch the cake get thrown or, you know, knives and forks are flying all over the place and people are losing it. And it's because we can't.
It was so popular. Cause you can't come to the table. That's why we're so popular here, because it's a place you can get it out and realize that it's not your family. It's not you, you know, like, here's what it is. We're supposed to find ourselves. Isn't that what's really going on here?
Okay, but if we're talking to ourselves, so if I take a group of people and we all agree on the same thing and then we're all talking about then we're not going outside of that circle. I could tell you this all day. You could tell it to me all day. And we could just kind of just go around in our own little circle. And that's why I said we're all kind of in like a bubble. Because if we go into other people's bubbles, then we have to burst that bubble. And a lot of people don't know that. And I learned that real early when I started doing research, because I was so open. I mean, so open about everything that I learned. Like, I thought that people were willing to hear it. And that was not the case at all. People were not, I mean... I had my own show at one point, and I have like a separate thing where I don't involve two parts of my life. So I'm this person on one side, and I have to be this person on the other side, because I know if I try to meld them together, it's going to blow up in my face. And I just don't want to deal with this. Not that I can. I mean that I can't. It's just I don't feel like it. I don't want to have to explain basic stuff to people that I know are just looking to fight me on it. You know, they're not looking to have a regular conversation or learn anything that I learned or anything that I know. They just want to debate me on what they know. And then they just want to have like a huge argument about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just, I don't even bother.
Yeah.
I don't bother because it doesn't make any sense. It's time wasted. But I didn't know that in the beginning when I first started researching. Everything I started learning, I blurted out of my mouth constantly. And I was not just pissing off people, but I was literally like decimating people. Like their views and their thing, and they just lost their stuff because they were like, oh my God, like I didn't think of it that way, or nobody told me that, or
That's what we're here for, in a way. Like, some people trip over some things that are huge that everybody should know. And like you're saying, most people don't want to put in the time, or, you know, when you say a 10-hour video, how many people even go that far? You know, but it's like, it doesn't take everyone. It takes somebody to figure out what's going on. Like Sergeant gives me a lot of information, and, you know, just the amount that he gives me makes me strong enough to take on the rest of this stuff. But not everybody can do it, and who wants to go through that? You know, how much time do you want to give in your life when you've got better things to do than to figure out what they're doing to you, or what, you know, how to get out of it or something, you know?
So imagine if we have to do that in order to reach the masses. We have to do that in 10 second increments. It's just too much, or 1 minute, or 10 minutes. Like, YouTube channels, like, their best thing would be 10 minutes long. And yeah. And how much could you possibly explain in 10 minutes? Or if you're just touching the surface, then you're not catching anybody. It's too much at this point where everybody's just consumed with something else or a different type of, I want to say like a mindset. Everybody has this idea that if you really want to say something that's important, then you should do it in 60 seconds, or I need to grab everybody's attention, or, you know what I mean? Like, you have to sell yourself. I don't want to sell myself. I know that if I don't sell myself, if somebody listens into my shows, that they either are, they bumped into it by accident, somebody told them to go there, or I'm just boring the crap out of people, no matter what I say. I could be entertaining. I could be talking about, like, conspiracy and juggle on a video. People would still turn it off because they're just like, I get it. She's entertaining. She's saying stuff. But if we're going into circles and we're not really reaching the people that we need to be reaching, like, that's my biggest thing. And that's why I'm trying to go on all of these different platforms where people, maybe not in our age group or not used to listening to this stuff, that I'm trying to reach out to, because I know that I could do the same thing. I could just go right back and you know, revert back to talking to people that already have this information. But I'm trying to learn how to, like, go outside of that box. And that shit is hard. Like, I'm like, man, I got to, like, change everything. I just cannot walk into this and get people to listen unless I follow the rules of people who listen these days.
But that's the way we're taught. We're taught to, like, you know, like, do what other people have done, you'll get popular too, in a way. But really, life is something new, and people are interested in something new all the time. They don't know it that way, but that's really what life is. Like, the living world is something new. But the dead world is the same old thing. They can't even come up with a good idea, you know, to get us out of hell or whatever, and there's no escape, you know, never enough knowledge to get out of hell type of thing, you know, and nobody can learn enough. So I think what it is you just be yourself, you be real, and, you know, you're just saying, well, this is what I found in this crazy world, you know, like, maybe it's time for something new to happen, you know, and you could be the one that trips over the new thing and shares it with everyone else. And I think that's the way it really works. Like, I'm nothing special. Maybe I'll get lucky because I didn't kill things for a while. I don't think it really works that way. I think the most unobvious place is where you're going to find the answer that solves everything. You know, just to make it like it, you deserve it if you figure it out. But I do think that the more we analyze things, because that's the way we're made. We're made to test everything, especially with a woman in your life. It's like you can't get anything right, you know, because everything gets tested in both directions because, you know, we do challenge each other in a good way, I guess, and in a bad way, you know. But that's how we get that's how we're made. It's nothing wrong with any of us. We're made this way. And I think that's what makes us so different. It makes it interesting. It's like the creator, and I know there's a creator. I mean, I know you said we, you know, I get that part. You know, we're all part of this, you know, we have all ideas and we're all connected somehow, which I think is through a creator. Because your heart always has the right answer. That's what I think anyway. And so I would, like, if you say something like, what would the creator do? It's like, how could you really screw up at that point? So I kind of feel like, you know, we have this choice, and choice is the real problem here. That it's great to have a choice until you realize what would the creator do. You know, it's like, this is kind of a waste of time.
Right.
But we're, you know, with all this choice, and we come here with no senses at all. We're totally nonsensible, and we actually spread that kind of nonsense, because who gets really to use their senses? Like, we don't realize how nature really works, because we wouldn't be worried about eating if we, you know, knew what the animals knew. They don't have that problem. So the joke is, we're supposed to make mistakes. We just might happen to be here at a good time when we can fix things, when we can actually have enough information to solve the puzzle, I would say. And I think that's where we're at. I think Maui was a big piece of the puzzle. If you can match Maui with Paradise, that's a game changer. And I know as a technician how much capability we have. I mean, they were putting lasers on airplanes. They definitely have them on boats that are just incredibly huge, that they can melt boats and stuff. So we have them in space, absolutely. And it's a simple thought. You know, like whoever has that power is going to use it and abuse it because of how big the power is. They can't even help themselves. And that's the joke. That's where we're really at. I actually look at it like there's another world that's ruling us. And what would they be like? You know, like, you know, a little bit beyond human, like more years than we get to figure out how devious or evil that you can get over us. You know, and their goal is to have fun and just use us for, you know, like we deserve it the way we do things or think and stuff. Like, we kind of do deserve it. It teaches us whatever they do to us. Like, I kind of think that's what it is. That book I have says the other world rules this world because you just don't know how it works. And I could see somebody, you know, like a god-like person that's like having fun with us. I mean, that's a simple thought.
What all religions teach that? That there is that separation. There is good. There is evil. Sure. And I don't mean evil in that sense, man. I even hate using
it. It's really good for us, right?
But just let's make it simple. So good and bad. So we're supposedly in the middle of that. And most religions say that you're just born bad, that there's nothing you can really do about that. You can't really change it. So when you start telling people stuff like that and they have a chance to run with it, and then they do that, right? Because we have plenty of deviants, and I hate using that word too, but we have plenty of people that just walk around here and they think that they have the ability to do what it is that they have to do. And then we have other places or other religions that tell you that as long as you comply with whatever they're saying, then you're forgiven. Then why would I not just walk around committing crimes like on a regular basis and say, well, as long as I say this right before the end, then I'm going to be okay. What is the incentive for me not to be a bad person? What incentive do I have? We know that hundreds of years ago, well, I don't want to say that we know. Oh my God, I hate using any of the words I'm using because it sounds definitive and I don't want it to seem that way. Everything that I say is based on information that I received, and I would never say that any of these things are facts because I don't know. And I don't trust the people that claim that these are facts. That is a fact for me. There's no way that I'm going to be like, I know that anybody says they know something for a fact and they're getting information that I can never get. I can't go and there's people, I can't remember his name, but there's a guy that he says that he finds, his name is just complicated to pronounce, but he's been doing this for like 50 years, right? So he goes on these excavations and then he said that he's found giants, right? So he goes into these big things and he's finding giants everywhere and he's trying to explain giants, right? And oh my God, now right now I want to say his name, but I know I'm going to say it real wrong or I'm just not going to get it right at all. So I'd rather just say, I think everybody would know or you can look it up. So there's a guy. He's finding all of these pieces and he's finding all of this information and he's trying to back that that almost everything is true in that sense. Well, he's trying to make it real.
I agree with the stories probably have truth behind them.
Okay.
Like even the science.
Right. So if I found like, and then we got little kids, right, that they go to their backyard and they find a dinosaur bone. That's how I feel when some guy comes on the news he's like, I found a giant, right? So, like, dude, that's like a rock or that's like a piece of bone from like a cat. No, you can't really claim that this is something even bigger. But we live in a place that as long as you come with this kind of information and you say that you're going to back it up with some kind of an education or you know better than everybody else. We got Zechariah Sitchin. He said that he was able to decipher the Sumerian tablets, right? And they claim that at the end, before he passed away, that he had gotten it wrong, that he actually admitted that he didn't really, that he did his, you know, he did his due diligence, but that it wasn't 100%, that he can't actually pass away and then say everything I said was real. Nobody's really come forward and said that they were able to decipher any of that kind of information. And I don't get that. I don't get that. If we can go thousands of years before that and decipher it, then there's a way we're doing it, that we can do it now. We just haven't, or we don't really want to share it. And then the one guy that shares it, we want to give him a hard time and then claim, because he's dying or and he's dead, that his information was misinformation. And now we have to start all over again. And nobody asks, well, who's going to restart this? You know what I mean? Who's going to give us our new information?
They don't want to know. That's what's going on with all that. Like, I've been looking into all the old world stuff where this is the old world. And it really is. But they're not allowed to say that in the books and stuff, because that would change all of the stories that they told us. You know, so we would actually be better people if we actually uncovered the old world and realized that we didn't have war all the time and stuff.
And that we're repeating the same mistake. If you don't tell me that I made a mistake, then I'm not going to learn from my mistake. So we're never telling anybody that mistakes were made, or that if there were, we're not spreading that kind of information and saying, we made these mistakes. This is something that we need to avoid. Please don't do this.
Well, you asked me the other night, like after a show, what the secret is. You know, what's going
on? Yeah.
And I know this is funny, because I really do think I get, you know, how it works in a way. Like, there's more than this world, and the secret is that you've got to be able to connect to that without going crazy in a way. You know, because the other world will just tell you whatever that you want to hear, type of thing. So it's hard for us to discern things and to make a good connection, to actually know, you know, what's right or wrong that we're getting or whatever. And I'm not claiming to be able to, you know, connect to something greater. You know, like my mom used to claim that, so I'm not going to be like that. You know, but it's like, I do think that when you make a decision in your heart, you know better. You know before you do it, even like it's like seeing the future. You know, so I think that's the real connection. And I think that when you really, like, look at things the way man is and stuff, the way we come up with answers and things, if we're not connected to something greater than ourselves, our selfish ways always screw up everything that we do. You know, like, our choices are usually wrong because it's not for the most people or something. You know, like, we might make a wrong choice if it's for the most people, but at least we went for, you know, as many people as we could help. And I think that's what's really going on here. There's two types of people, and it's just selfish or unselfish. And so some people would give enough that, you know, it doesn't really cost much to take care of most of the world, because we're mostly givers. And we're made that way, I think. And then there's some that we're taught, like, we are all taught to take what we can get out of it and stuff, like survival of the fittest, because capitalism is like that. So I kind of look at it like the problem here is trying not to be selfish in a capitalistic world that has to be selfish. And people are making all kinds of excuses for why they're selfish, because, you know, everybody else does it and stuff. And everybody else lies, you know, like, it's hard to find what, you know, real is. And I think that's what new is something that's just, you know, what did you find? What can we share with each other? How easy could we really live if we were really about living instead of just getting what we can out of each other? And I think there's going to be, you know, and I've read a lot of books and a lot of belief systems and things. And I do think that most of it's all a hijack. Even the one that I have, the OSPI, I can't figure out, you know, whether it's a hijack or not. It doesn't matter. What matters to me is that book actually says that we travel the stars after this, and that makes more sense than trying to do it physically. So I kind of think we have this great future of the opposite of this world, where we can do anything almost. And that's why they don't tell us about it, because it doesn't matter what happens here. We're just getting started, but eventually evolve into something great. And, you know, the spirit, how could you stop something like that? Like, I look at all the knowledge that I come up with so far, and all I want to do is keep going. I don't want to lose all the stuff that I've learned. Why would I put all my time in, you know, to learn how things work and then just pass on? And I did want to bring up, there was a girl named Pat that used to call in from Texas all the time on RBN, and she just passed away this week, and everybody was sad over it. And it's Pat from Texas, and I'm sure a lot of people remember her and stuff. And that's the way I think of Rev Radio and RBN and stuff. We're the family that's trying to get life back, you know, to a dead world that is more about, you know, what you can get out of each other. We don't like to be that way. We're not really made that way. Like, if they gave us a world that you didn't worry about your bills, we would be helping each other and everybody would be happy. So it can't be that simple, even though that's how simple it really is here. So isn't it just a time that we know better? We've seen every possible way man can come up with to, you know, every kind of ism, every kind of religion, every belief that we could come up with, every imagination. No. Aren't we at that point? No. Is that a good question for the answer?
So, no, well, I'm sorry. If it was, is it? Is it a question?
Yeah, is it a time when we have not AI, but enough information that we can make a good decision and actually
we can't connect. We can't connect amongst ourselves. So what we did was we took, and I'm only talking about here. I can't talk worldwide. I do look up all the newspapers from everywhere else, and there's a lot of stuff going on everywhere else. But I can speak from here, right? So from here, we started recognizing a lot of different, let's say, subsections of people that wanted to be heard. Right. And it wasn't based on people that just wanted to say, I'm here. This is a part of my life or anything like that. It was based out of just being misunderstood or being bullied. There was a whole point in time, and I really hated this, like, I don't know, 8 or 9, no, not even that long ago. But there was a point in time where you sharing in a hateful way how you felt about somebody, that was completely acceptable. We don't live in that time anymore. We're in cancel culture. We live in a time where people don't want to have these kinds of conversations anymore, and that you're hurting anybody's feelings, and people take that stuff too far. I'm willing to say that. But we wound up being in a place where we clearly understand that you need to have some kind of an awakening with other people, that you need to start understanding that people that are just not like you still need to be accepted. We spent a whole lot of time just taking people, and then we're like, this is us. Nobody else can come into our realm. And now everybody else has their own name, their own pronoun. Everybody has their own stuff. And that's not something that everybody's really willing to walk into. And some people really take it to the extreme. But it really, I think that it really does come to a lack of acceptance. We don't have except we really haven't had that for like a really long time. And like, and I don't want to say recorded history, because I never looked that far. I'm not going to talk about something I never looked into. But I know that as far as okay, so just a quick question. Did you know that Martin Luther King and Frank were alive at the same time?
I don't know. That's interesting. No, she was old enough.
They were. So both of their pictures are in black and white. Her picture could be in color, and his picture could be in color. They were both alive at the same time. There's a way that our form of control would be for us just having a misunderstanding about how things work and how everything works in a line, right? And I'm a lineage, right? So we just misunderstand everything that comes inside of this thing. We take something that two different messages, or even if it's the same message, that it comes in two different times. Like the first time we didn't learn, or it would be Anne Frank's time we didn't learn. We came to Martin Luther King's words and his information, and we didn't learn. And we have no idea that the both of them were alive at the exact same time. And that even though they had two different messages, it was something that they both carried, and that they made sure we separated, that we would never take these two things and correlate them to say that they had a message of hate, or they had that people had a message of hate, or they had a message of separation, or whatever it is, or that we're all the same and that we treat each other different. They both had the same message. It was at the same time. But if they show us the same photos, or they tell us that this person was in one place, this person was another, and we don't correlate the two, that's how we don't learn. They force that on us to say that there's no way that we're going to be able to learn anything unless it's based on history. But if they don't teach us history, then we're screwed. And we're always going to be screwed.
Yeah, but it's their story. It's not real. It's like you find out when you read books that are old and stuff. It's all made up. So we're basing things like against each other, different cultures and stuff, on stuff that was made up to keep us all against each other. And just like you said, we can't come together and think together. And really, that's how you get an answer. Like that book I have, that's what it's all about. It explains what a creator is, and it explains how people work together. That book is all about, like, when you leave here, you can't go out traveling the stars if you're selfish. So you're kind of committed to this planet and all the corruption until you figure out there's better things to do with your time. Like, why would you, if you knew there was something better you could be doing, why would you waste your time, you know, fighting with each other over stupid memories and old, you know, ceremonies or whatever it is we make up here? You know, like, this is our best imagination. Now, how do we get past our imagination? Because that's what they're using against us. That's what AI is. It's like, oh, well, look at what they can build that could hurt us. Well, what about it helping us? If it's so brilliant and it can do so much more than us, why hasn't it come up with the solution yet? And we're all happy. So that's why I'm against it. I'm like, it's not coming up with one new thing, but they're acting like it's...
But you're basing that on... the information would be given to the public. You're basing that on why didn't, like, the regular news, or why didn't we have a meeting, or why is it that regular people don't know this? It's if there was some kind, if they took AI and they have information that would either doom us or make us into, like, some kind of heaven, they're not going to tell us. That's not, we don't live in that kind of a world, where that kind of information is just given to us every time they discover it.
If I could show you how a machine works and how it's just a machine, then they've got to come up with some convincing evidence that it's more than a machine. Because their whole game right now is to just gaslight everybody without any data behind it, and nobody really knows how it works. You know, so you see some results, like how fast it can come up with somebody's name out of a billion people or something. But that's what a computer does. That doesn't make it, you know, something special that it's doing. So they've got to get past somebody like me that's sitting here questioning everything they do because they're trying to convince people that they've got power over them. And the truth is, nobody has power over us. Go ahead.
No. What I'm saying is, the components that they have are not the same ones that you have, not in the past and not now. Everything has already advanced in a sense where it's not supposed to be understood by the regular person. That's not how you have hidden projects. That's not how you have hidden technology. None of that works in the sense where we could just look up a patent and it just kind of works. That's not how it works. They're not going to tell us what they have so that we could just go home and make these things.
Because I can make these things. That's what I'm telling you. Back in the 70s, we used to have this 3D, laser technology where we could make holograms and stuff. I could build one myself. You know, we always had the technology. And then the lasers that are real high power and stuff, we always had that. We always had rail guns that could hit something coming over the horizon before you even saw anything on the, you know, the other side. You know, like it's just that was back in the 50s. So we have all the technology years ago.
So imagine what they have now. If you're saying that, right? Right now we have tech. Right now we have tech that can make a soldier invisible. Right now we have the kind of tech that has drones. This is in Obama area, in Obama era, where the people that they were bombing the most were terrified of certain types of clouds because they knew that that wasn't a regular cloud. They knew that that was a drone.
Right.
We have technology that's 4D. We're starting to bump that up in a sense where we're not given that. I know that you could build them. I know that there's things that you can do. But I'm saying that you don't have the technology right now that they have in order for them to do the things that they do.
They don't do anything that I couldn't figure out back in the 70s and 80s. And people are trying to tell me that they're 50 years or 100 years ahead of our time.
And they are, and I'm probably the one that said that, but yeah.
And I'm telling you that that's wrong. They're 20 years behind because they can't do any more than what they did back in the 70s and 80s. And I know people are going to give me a little bit of a weird because we love to talk about all kinds of imagination and stuff. But we ran into a problem back in the 70s and 80s where we couldn't use white light anymore. We had to use something in the ultraviolet or something because we couldn't make small enough lines anymore to make things smaller in a chip. So we ran into a technical problem that can't be overcome. Even with like x-rays or, the blue lasers and stuff, the highest frequencies, it's not going to work anymore. So I'm saying that, you know, what they're doing is they're making like more than one computer in a chip because they get it to break up the program and run faster that way. But then you got to, you know, put the results back together, or, you know, you got to decide which chip is going to run which program part and put it, you know, like it gets complicated is what they're doing. But that's how I know that they have limits. And what I do is I look at all the new stuff that's coming out, all the new chips and technology. I used to make chips. So I want to know, you know, like what can we do now? The phone is the only thing that really changes that much. And it's really a simple setup. I'm a communications technician. So it's really not much more than a bunch of little chips too that they can just put in different phones. Like I think somebody in Africa is putting a phone out at $50 that's almost comparable to a $1,000 phone. You know, so it's all about, you know, you can buy the parts in sets that, you know, like this is the newest thing that's out. And then you can get the data code or the data sheets on things and they'll tell you how to program it and stuff. So, you know, we could really be doing a lot of this stuff ourselves. I just don't have the time to really get involved in stuff in it. But what I think is that we're really behind and they're trying to fool us into thinking they're all powerful like Oz. But really they don't have anything to impress us at all. And that's why I keep saying, you know, if AI is so great and it's done so many things, why isn't it showing me something that makes me think that AI has a brain or can think for itself or has feelings like us, you know, because you can't make decisions without feelings.
But then you're basing that on that this was made to have feelings. Like, it's not. It's supposed to be robotic.
No, it's not about feelings.
We live in a time. We live in a time of war, correct? If we live in a time of war and then we're worried, the biggest fear about us having our own troops, and this is my opinion, about having our own troops come down here the way that we had tanks, in Ferguson, the way that we had them in Chicago, the way that we had them in Philadelphia back in the 70s, in order to break up this house, they threw C4 into a building. You can look that up.
There.
You call it. We've always had those kinds of capabilities. So if you're to believe, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying just in general.
They could do
anything. So if people are to believe that we had the capability to go to the moon when there was only black and white TV, now how is it that you would think, and now I'm saying you, how is it that you would think that we didn't have capabilities that are way further than the information they're giving to the regular man? I don't think that I can go on, what's that thing, on Alibaba, right? And then I'm just going to be able to buy, 10,000 computer chips for like $300, and then it's going to come down here and I'm just going to build like all these super machines. Like, that's not how it works. The information that they have, I understand that you have capabilities, but you don't have the tech that they have now. That's not out in the open. That's not something that they just give away. That's not something you could buy with a Walmart card. That's the kind of information, and that's the kind of tech that we don't understand. We know that may be a possibility, but it's not given. I'm sorry, go ahead, because your phone's breaking up, so I know you're trying to talk. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
For one, we don't really make like military chips ourselves anymore. Actually, China
does. Yeah, that's what I said. China does. So, that's where Alibaba is at.
Right. And so I'm trying to say that this is more about like a consumer, selling phones and, like not giving you all the options until you buy the next one and stuff. Like this is all marketing us. And then when you look at the chipsets, like they actually have chipsets that, go with each other so that you can build a phone and stuff. I could order a phone chipset, like, and have the phone ready to sell in like a weekend or something. That's how like marketable these things are at this point. That's why Africa can build a $50 phone for the people and stuff. But what I'm getting at is that we're limited to what we put our knowledge into. Like the fifth generation is actually paid for by China, because America is broke and they can't come up with a fifth generation. So that's the big problem right now, is we're going to be under China's control because they're the ones that are rolling out the new generation of all our communications. And communications is how the world runs. And that's really why I say that we're at a point where we have the knowledge to have it our way. Isn't that why they have the commercial? Have it your way. But see, I think everything is like there is a creator, and it's already set everything up. Like the reason that Sore Ass has a name like that, or Buy-In or whatever, and Her Ass and stuff, it's all set up for us to play the words, because it's all we're under spells right now. Like you said earlier, it's hard to even say the right words without getting yourself in trouble, because we're programmed that way. Which makes me realize that man can't do all these great things. That it's all ruse, because the creator only gave us so much that we can do to each other before we can't take it anymore. And aren't we at that point where the people just want to do it their way? Isn't that what we, that's what we're trying to get at here? Like, we're knowledgeable enough. We got the communications. And we could really just get together and have the best ideas. Nobody's going to outthink us at this point.
Well, don't mistake my lack of saying things, or saying I don't want to say that. That has nothing to do with me not wanting to say things. I just know I can't say things here. So that's the only reason. It's not that I don't have an opinion. It's not that I don't want to share my opinion, or that I haven't shared it with like regular people. It just, I know when to say things, where to say things, or I know now. But when I eventually get that outlet, then yeah, I'm going to share it all, and I'm not really going to care about anything. But it really does come down to the point where we have to make an ultimate decision. We have to decide if, and I know that you say, we could be free, we can make our own decisions. I know that there's people out there that don't want to work two or three jobs. You know what I mean? And that's not because it's a choice, because I'm sure, you know, their choice would be not to be able to do that or want to be with their families more and stuff like that. I know that after you give birth to a child, after like 3 months, they require you to go back to work. And then you leave your baby with like strangers, you know what I mean? And there's like a separation between us and our growth. And it's not always everybody's choice. I just happened to leave where I was at and do this here. And I'm still paying the price in my own sense, where I bought property. And even though I was excited about it, I really didn't think it through about the kind of people that I was going to live around, even though they think that, even though they're like, oh, you know, minorities move next door. And I'm still like, oh, my God, I, you know, I got to live next to these guys. Like, we're both doing the exact same thing. It might not be, well, it's probably for the same exact reason, by the way. Because I said this on a roundtable a couple of weeks back, and I was like, you know, they could have the Trump stuff, Blue Lives Matter stuff, Trump 2024, and all this, and I mean lots of flags, like it's ridiculous. But if I took a Puerto Rican flag and I put it up in front of my house, or I put an LGBT flag in front of my house, all hell would break loose. My house would probably be shot at. For me doing something like that in this area. And I'm not joking. I told you about what happened over the last 2 days at my house. And that is something that I don't take lightly. And they just show it to me like on a constant and regular basis. And in case, and I'm just going to throw out the little piece of that.
It's scary.
My birthday was on Friday. On Saturday, somebody's house, my neighbor's house got broken into. And they came directly to my house. With the cop came to my house with the assumption that I was hiding somebody in my house that might have committed a crime, because the guy didn't say he thought it. He said he saw a guy walk about 300 feet from my house and literally come onto my property through trees, through thorn bushes and everything, and hide out here. And I've had the cops, I've had to deal with this for the last 2 days. Knowing damn well I didn't know what he was talking about. But this is my life here. They didn't go to the neighbor past me. They didn't go down the road. There's a road right by my, by my house. It's a little bit further. Yeah, but there's a bunch of houses down that way. They didn't go anywhere. My neighbors literally told the police to come to my house. And that there's nobody around here that would commit a crime. And all the guy had was like somebody break into his car and take his wallet. That there was no way in hell that nobody else could committed a crime except me. And it had to
be
here.
Around there or something? Like, is that normal?
Say what?
Is there any crime there? I mean, you're out in the middle of nowhere.
No,
right?
There's no crime here.
Exactly.
There's no crime here. There's no crime here. Except the lady that lives in the same house that her man beat her up, and then she came to hide out at my house, and I'd let her stay here until the cops got here.
Person is drunk and telling stories about what happened on your property. And there was a friend that visited you on your birthday, you said, so maybe they were thinking that's who did it, you know, because they said guy and they know that it's just women there, right?
Right. And by the way, the guy that was here for my birthday is as dark as Wesley Snipes. Right, he's here. He has He has a gun on him all the time with his license and everything. If this would have happened the next day, there would have been a whole different situation that happened in front of my house. And like, there's like this misunderstanding of everybody feeling like, and I have a Ring camera now, and people kind of feel like they have the authority themselves to walk onto my property I got cameras, I got signs, do not trespass, everything. And they come into my property and they bang on my door in the morning to tell me they feel like I committed a crime because they saw the cops at my house after they sent the cops to my house. So this is something that I have to deal with. And this is not the first time. This is the third time now.
Well,
and this is the first time since my husband passed away. So they pretty much know my husband's not here. They know that I'm here with my daughter by ourselves. This is not information. first of all, everybody knows everything in this area. It doesn't matter. I take my shoes off. Right now, I'm sitting in my pajamas. I'm sitting on the bed with this headphone. I guarantee you, if you went like 72 blocks from my house, they could tell you exactly what I'm doing right now, because that's what they do for, like, I want to say a living. Maybe they get points. I don't know what they do. They just think that I'm their project.
Right.
Because nobody around here looks like me. Nobody around here lives like me. I mind my business.
I think you're teaching them. Like, I think that's why it's like a situation that you're in. That, you know, like, it's the whole thing when you add it up, it's like the creator was behind it or something. And it's like your local yokels, you know, the one that came and knocked on your door thinking you could be a criminal.
Yeah,
he doesn't even know.
He definitely did. That was hilarious. And I don't know why I say it on the radio as like pieces of information. But this guy, I don't want to say this guy, the cop came to my house.
I went and opened my door.
And there's a window. He could see me. I could see him clearly. But nobody's recognizing the camera in front of my house. Like, it's not like hidden or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's right in front of my house. And this guy is like, so I got to ask you. And he's asking me stuff on my property. I won't open the door. I feel like I'm not going to open the door.
Well, you don't need to, right?
No, I don't need to open the door.
Well, isn't that
if he needed to arrest me, then he should just come in here and arrest me. But that wasn't the case. He was just looking for me to self-incriminate. And by the way, I'm not going to do that. So he came over here and then he said something about my plates didn't match. I didn't know what the hell that meant. But I know that my tags are intact. I know I pay full insurance for my car because I got like 1.5 payments left to pay it off. And he went, he made that up. And then when I wouldn't open the door, he went and checked my plates. He lied the first time. He just thought that I was going to open the door and I was going to let him in my house. I was going to let him on my property and look around because my neighbors decided to make up some bullshit about some person come into my house and then hiding. Like, they'd have to go through so much stuff to hide on my property. And because they said that, the cop was like, yeah, that has to be true. She wouldn't let me in her house. She wouldn't let me, you know, get her name or ID. She didn't follow the rules that, you know, I thought she should have. And then she's got to be full of it. Yeah. Somebody who robbed you, it has to be her. And then I get the neighbors banging on my door. Like, literally, I have to go tomorrow and get an ex parte. Because
the department actually went back to the neighbor and gave him information he shouldn't have.
Yes. He gave him information that I wasn't cooperating, that must have meant I was hiding somebody out of my house.
I can't believe they don't.
My house is like a chicken because it doesn't want to get cooked. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So it's all like this, I don't want to say like, it's all this nepotism nonsense, you know? Oh, they lived here for this many years. Why would they make up some kind of story? Let's go harass the, and I'm going to quote, I'm doing air quotes, of course. And every time I do that, I say it. My air quotes is that there's Mexican, dirty Mexicans, because that's what the guy said on my camera, that there's dirty Mexicans that live here and that, you know, that the cops were already at my house, forgetting they sent the cops to my house. So all we do here is commit crimes, and that's my life now. I'm a criminal.
Yeah, all the neighbors saw the cops at your house. So.
Yeah, and all the cops. Yeah, that's what I forgot about that. So everybody over here saw the cops, and they're like, oh, my God, we knew it. The Mexicans.
To do now.
Yeah, the Mexicans, everybody lock your doors. The Mexicans will live here. Horrible, horrible people. But for anybody that's going to call bullshit on that, then just come to my house. Or just call my local police station. Because I had to deal with like 10,000. I'm not going to talk about it because we only got a couple of minutes. But it went way worse than that. So I have to walk around here just proving my innocence to people that I should never have to do that to. I mean, they knew, and they right now they called me today and asked me if I wanted to press charges on the guy that came here. And they were like, no, you're not a suspect, you're not nothing. And they turned this whole thing into something that it should have never been. And they made that mistake.
They might want to get rid of the guy with the tattoos because he's always paying the ass. And, you know, how he treats people and stuff. Who knows? You know, like, I don't want to figure him out anyway. But one of the points you made is like how you deal with the officer, whether he's controlling the situation.
Yeah, why would he make up a lie like that? Like, I'm not gonna open my. First of all, I don't have to open my door. Like, he was angry the second that I didn't open my door. He was angry the second that I didn't expose myself.
Well, you're not complying. That's the point.
Huh?
You're not complying.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
All right,
I wasn't complying.
The point I wanted to make was that in Maui right now, the people that didn't comply then walked past the police officers and things, they lived. And the people that complied all went and got burned up and stuff. So there, it's like this big deal with the system right now, you know, all about complying. Everything
and they told them, there was people that were trying to get out and they were like, no, the authorities told us to tell you to stay exactly where you are.
Yes, that's my point.
And that's what they did. And it might not have been those people that asked, but their family members. This is, I don't want to say this to Katrina, because Katrina was way bigger than this. But this is a form of Katrina. This is like their own little way. And they said that Oprah owned like 1,000. She's already been there. She's been there twice. And she's saying she's helping everybody else, but she owns 1,000 acres in the exact same place where the fire started. So their biggest fear is that people are going to come in that got money and they're going to take over the entire place and they're going to push everybody out because they can't rebuild. They can't rebuild being broke. You can't rebuild.
I think they should give the island back to the original.
They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it.
I don't think they have a choice. I think that the amount of people that were lost, it's like the lawsuit would bring back the island to the original people anyway. It's not up to them. These days,
yeah,
it's up to
us. It really is.
And that's the future. We'll be back with more than that.
No, we can't. This is the end, right?
Yeah, this is the end.
Right. Good night, everybody.
With more. Thank you.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what call.